the court of public opinion and the outrage that has kind of come about because of this decision will ultimately lead to Joey Chestnut being on the stage 4th of July and competing in this contest?
I do, but I'm, you know what, I'm a positive patriot over here. I'm hoping for the best.
All right, so if you are driving around town, I know we've had a little bit of fun with this, but obviously there were some legality questions in there. If you are, if you need a lawyer, if you've been in a crash, call Sam and Ash. Ash, when can people reach out to you? Because that's kind of the coolest thing about you and Sam is that you're always available.
Yeah, our team is available 24/7, weekdays, weekends, even the 4th of July, in the middle of the hot dog eating competition. If you need us, give us a call, 702-820-1234. And just, you know, my advice, no ketchup on hot dogs.
Oh, 100%.
I'm with you there. That is 100% the correct take. Ash, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Always fun.
That is Ash Watkins with SamAndAshLaw.com. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or go to SamAndAshLaw.com. We're back with hour number two of the VGK Insider Show next.
Hands it off, left circle, McNabb, Dorofeev, one-timer, blocked, rattles around, score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin! Score! Noah Hanifin, power goal!
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, rolling along here on a Wednesday, and the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Chapman, it's hour number two. What are we going to do?
Sticks down, drop the puck on hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.
All right, so as promised, we're going to dive into three reasons why the Edmonton Oilers can get back in this series and, if nothing else, make it a little interesting, right? Like, through the first two games, it's been all Florida. 2-0 series lead for the Panthers. They've outscored the Edmonton Oilers 7-1 over those two games. Sasha Barkov's been fantastic. The Oilers' offense has not been able to generate much. Did generate some in game number one. Bobrovsky was phenomenal. But after that, it has really been the Florida Panthers stymieing and frustrating the Edmonton Oilers. But if you are an Oilers fan, one, you're in a tough spot here. But two, there's hope. There are reasons, however flimsy they may be, why you should believe in the Edmonton Oilers. There are reasons why you should believe that this team that is in the Stanley Cup final can find a way to push this at least in game three and maybe beyond. So I'm going to start off with my first reason. We'll go back and forth. Chapman's got his. Frankly, Connor McDavid has a superstar moment. Like, to me, we haven't had that game yet from Connor. Like, he was good in game number one. I thought he was probably the most impressive forward for the Edmonton Oilers in game two. So really, thus far, it's been the Connor McDavid show, but it hasn't been electric. It hasn't been one of those moments, one of those signature-type performances where Connor gives you two and three and has 5 points, and all of a sudden everyone's talking about how this guy is the best player in the world. He's had moments, but not prolonged periods of dominance. And so when you look at McDavid and when you look at this series, he has seen a lot of Sam Bennett. He's seen a little bit of Sasha Barkov. He's seen a lot of Gustav Forsling. And frankly, that has to stop. And the virtue of having last change should open things up a little bit more for McDavid to get away from those players. One, we don't know if Barkov's going to play. I expect that he will. He was a full participant earlier today for the Florida Panthers during practice. The travel will factor into whether or not he can go. We'll know tomorrow one way or another. But if Barkov goes, you're going to have to get creative if you're Chris Knobloch. You're going to have to find different pockets inside of the game to get McDavid away from those players that do such a great job shutting him down. And if you can get McDavid away like 10% more than what you've gotten out of the first two games, I think you're going to see production out of McDavid. He's too good of a player playing at too high of a level to be completely shut down in this series. And I would not be surprised if in game three you see McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman paired up together and put into those spots where they can get shifts away from Barkov, away from Bennett, and away from Forsling. So reason number one why you should believe in the Edmonton Oilers making this interesting is that Connor McDavid hasn't had his superstar Stanley Cup championship moment, and I'm telling you, that's coming.
Yeah, you would think, right, superstar player, best player in the world, you have to think that at some point he's going to have that moment where he breaks through. The reason why, for me, the first reason why Edmonton can't get back into this series is you're only down 2-0, and you haven't played a game at home yet. Like, you could very easily win these next two games in Edmonton, and all of a sudden it's a best of three, no longer a best of five. The Oilers are a good team at home. They're going to be juiced up about playing at home in front of their fans who have not seen a Stanley Cup final game. I mean, remember, there were games in Edmonton in a Stanley Cup final just a couple of years ago, but their team wasn't in it, and no fans were in the building to see it. So it's been a very, very long time since the city of Edmonton has hosted an Oilers Stanley Cup playoff or Stanley Cup final game. The fans are going to be primed to go. It's a loud arena. I think they're going to get a boost from that. So playing at home, I think there's certainly going to be an opportunity to get back into this series, and it has to start tomorrow night because obviously if you lose tomorrow night, forget about it. It doesn't matter how many home games you have. I can't imagine you're going to win four straight in a series, but I think playing at home, you're only down 2-0. We've seen teams come back from 2-0. Unfortunately, in this playoffs, we've seen that. So I wouldn't stress it about that if I'm Edmonton because you haven't played a game at home yet. So for that reason, they absolutely can get back into it because they've got two home games coming up.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. You're never in trouble in a series until you lose on home ice. That's what everybody says. That's the cliche. Okay, reason number two for me is that the power play solves the Panthers' penalty kill. And it's really that simple, right? We talked about it in the Western Conference Final. The Dallas Stars did an excellent job shutting down the power play of the Edmonton Oilers. Now, by extension, the Dallas Stars did a terrible job of utilizing their power play to take games over and give themselves a stranglehold on the series when they had an opportunity to do so. But I digress from there. The Oilers in the Western Conference Final needed time to allow their power play to break through. They needed time to study the penalty kill of the Dallas Stars, to break it down. And it got to a point where once they solved it, they couldn't be stopped. And that's what the Oilers have to do here. Like, I'm not looking at this series and saying that the Oilers are going to win this 1-5-on-5. They're very simply not going to do that. But where the Oilers can make big strides is with the man advantage. Where the Oilers can find themselves with an advantage in this series is on the man advantage, and they have to solve it quickly. This isn't a scenario where you can wait another couple of games, because if it keeps going this way, and I don't expect the 5-on-5 offense to really like explode for Edmonton either. If it keeps going this way, you're looking at a sweep. You don't have two more games to work with here if you're the Oilers. Your power play has to solve the penalty kill of the Panthers tomorrow. It's that simple. And so when you have that pressure, and you have McDavid talking about how it needs to be more instinctual, I think that's going to be the key. The Oilers can get you running around. They can make you look foolish. And oftentimes, it's not on a set play. It's just on McDavid and Draisaitl and the interplay between those two guys. You throw in the Bouchard bomb from the point, and all of a sudden, you have a recipe for success. I think for the Oilers, they got to take their heads out and play. They've got to rely on the instincts of their best offensive players, and they have to get the power play working as early as tomorrow. Otherwise, this series is over.
Yeah, you're 100% correct on that. The next reason for me, Sasha Barkov. Like, we know that we've heard he seems to be doing okay, but he's got to travel to Edmonton. He has to get on a plane. He's got to take that long flight. You know, if he's dealing with something with his head, it may not be so easy for him to just land tonight and rest, sleep tonight, and go out and skate tomorrow. Like, it may not be that simple. So if he is not at 100% health, and I'm going to guess that he's probably going to be dealing with something that's nagging him. He's been their best skater in the series. He's a shutdown forward. He is the guy who kind of makes things go for the Florida Panthers, and he has been for some time, even back when they weren't very good. Sasha Barkov was a standout player with this organization. So if he's not able to go and you're Edmonton, or if he's not 100% and you're Edmonton, you have to attack that. You have to be like a shark smelling blood, because if you're able to get to the Oilers the Panthers with him on the ice, you're going to have success, I think, further down in some of the matchups that you're experiencing, because I think how he plays kind of sets the tone for this team. So if he's not at full health, I think that's an advantage for Edmonton, as it should be. Whether or not they're able to capitalize is another story, but I think if he's not the Sasha Barkov that we know and expect, I think that's an advantage for Edmonton, and it's an opportunity for them to maybe exploit some weaknesses, and we'll see how it goes tomorrow, see how he is. Of course, now that I'm saying this, the guy's going to play better than he ever has, and it's not even going to be brought up ever again. But if there's that little bit of doubt, you have to exploit it, and you have to take advantage of it if you're Edmonton. And I think if he's not good to go, I think there's an opportunity for Edmonton to maybe do some things that they hadn't been able to do in games one and two.
All right, so my third reason is Zach Hyman has to start playing like Zach Hyman again. And we talked about it going into the series. You know, we looked at the most important players not named Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Sasha Barkov, Matthew Tkachuk. And for me, when you have 14 goals through three rounds of the playoffs, you cannot have a bad round. You cannot have a dip in production, because the Oilers relied on the offense that Zach Hyman was giving them. Yes, McDavid's got all the points, but he doesn't have a ton of goals. Yet Draisaitl's got a fair mixture of both, but he hasn't done anything over the last eight playoff games. You needed Zach Hyman to continue to be consistent. You needed Zach Hyman to be in the kitchen of Sergei Bobrovsky. And though there's been some contact here and there, it really hasn't been effective hockey for Zach Hyman. Put another way, he's been invisible. He's been invisible in this series. And so when you have Bobrovsky playing as well as he's playing, you need your best net front presence guy to get there, to make him uncomfortable, and to put the puck in the back of the net. If you go through a series and Zach Hyman has zero goals, that's the reason you lose. Because he had 14 through three rounds. He cannot have that dip. He just can't. It's not something that can be sustained for the Edmonton Oilers. So if McDavid has a big game, if their power play gets working, all of those things tend to trend that Zach Hyman will also get on track. He has to. Because I don't think the Edmonton Oilers have enough offense without him. And if he can't get going, where are the goals going to come from? As much as we want to sit here and say McDavid, as much as we want to sit here and say Draisaitl or Evan Bouchard, I don't think it's coming from there. I think it's going to be greasy. I think it's going to be cheap. I think it's going to be in and around the net. And the only guy that really ever gets that done for the Edmonton Oilers is Zach Hyman. He has to start to look like himself. Otherwise, the Oilers are in trouble.
You know, I'm going to go to someone you mentioned, but saying that he's not going to be the guy to get it going. But I'm going to go with Evan Bouchard. Why? Because the blue line has not been very good for the Edmonton Oilers. And we know that they're better than what they've shown. And Evan Bouchard, he's a guy, if you factor in the playoffs and the regular season, he's got over 100 points on the season for the Edmonton Oilers. So we know he's got that missile that he can shoot, especially on the power play. He's got that nasty, nasty one-timer. He's a guy who he could be the one to get this team going. And I could see it happening on the power play. I could see him finding the puck on his stick and just ripping one. Maybe it bounces off of someone, takes a deflection. But Evan Bouchard is the guy who he's kind of – it's impossible to say he's forgotten on this team, but there's so much high-powered offense from, like, five guys that sometimes you think of Nugent Hopkins, obviously Draisaitl, McDavid, and you mentioned Hyman. But Evan Bouchard's the guy who he's a bit slippery, and he's the one who can kind of put that shot and really turn a game around when he gets that puck on his stick, and he just – like I love to say he's got a missile. It's one of my favorite things to say. Like, he's got a missile on his stick or the bomb, right? Like, Nick Hague has the bomb. Well, Evan Bouchard has the Bouch bomb. And I feel like there's going to be an opportunity some point in that game tomorrow where Zach Hyman or where Evan Bouchard is going to have the opportunity to rip one on the power play. And it may come early, it may come late, it may end up being the defining moment of game three. But I feel like there's going to be a moment for Evan Bouchard to make something happen. And for that reason, I feel like he's a reason why Edmonton can get back into this series.
All right, I'm going to give you a bonus. You have to exploit every single advantage that you can have in a game, in a series. It doesn't matter. Like, if Sasha Barkov isn't 100%, if you're the Oilers, you got to exploit that. You're absolutely right, Chapman. You're right on the money. The Florida Panthers' travel schedule today is out of sorts. They're still in the air right now. Like, they are not even in Edmonton yet. And puck drop is in 24 hours. Let that sink in for a moment. I know that we view hockey players as robots. I know that we think that travel doesn't impact them or any outside influence doesn't impact them. But the reality of the situation is hockey players are human. They're not machines. And the hiccup today with the schedule from a travel perspective will impact the Florida Panthers in the game tomorrow. Now, how long it impacts them is really up to the Edmonton Oilers. They might not have their legs to start the game. The Oilers have to be on top of them. The Florida Panthers might just be too tired to get into the game at any point in time tomorrow. The Edmonton Oilers have to make them pay for that and the decision to travel today and not yesterday. It's really simple. The Oilers, they've been at home for 2 days. They have rested. They have gotten treatment. They have gotten themselves to a position where they have to feel like they are ready to go and certainly are a well-rested team going into tomorrow. The same cannot be said for the Florida Panthers. And I think Jamie brings up a great point. You probably delay this on the Panther side because you want to give Barkov as much rest at home as you can possibly give him. That's fine. But he's one guy over the course of, instead of the entire team. It is possible that the Florida Panthers have no juice in this game tomorrow because of the travel and the schedule and the delays and the uncertainty and everything that went into what happened with them today on their flight getting to Edmonton. The Oilers have to make them pay. The Oilers have to make them pay, and they've got to do it by jumping on them, especially if they don't have juice early on.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Look, I am someone who's quite familiar with air travel and the effects that it can have on your body. You get dehydrated, you get cramps sometimes, your joints maybe, you get a little sore. The fact that they're getting in after flying 6 hours almost, and who knows, you know, the stress of maybe having to deal with sitting on the tarmac, sitting on the runway before you take off. Like, that's a real thing. And everyone who's traveled knows. Like, it's not like they flew from Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta. Like, it's a long flight, and your body will take some time to adjust to that. Now, I get these guys are professional athletes, but there's something to that. Like, there is something to the fact that they are getting in less than 24 hours before the game for maybe the biggest game of everyone on that team's career. Like, yeah. We hear it all the time from Bruce Cassidy. You hear it from the players. You hear it from analysts. You hear it from general managers. Players are creatures of habit. Their routine has been thrown off. And maybe it has no effect, or maybe it has some effect. And if you're Edmonton, you have to hope that it's thrown it off enough to where you're able to take advantage of it. And maybe they do start slow. If you get out to a two-goal lead in that first period, all of a sudden there's some doubt. And all of a sudden you gain the confidence. But that's what you have to do. If you're Edmonton and you don't have a lead going into the second period, I think you're in big trouble. I think you have to exploit that.
For the Oilers, this can't be a slow start game.
No.
It cannot be a slow start game. You have to go out there and take it to the Florida Panthers from the opening faceoff, because there's no reason. And listen, I get it. I know the Oilers are banged up. Like, I know Evander Kane's playing through some stuff. I know that Darnell Nurse is banged up after a hit with Evan Rodriguez. Like, I'm aware of that. I get it. But anyone that isn't banged up has to be ready to go, has to be ready to jump on the Florida Panthers, because this is your best shot here. The best opportunity for the Edmonton Oilers to get themselves back into the series is in Game 3. And it might have been a miscalculation by the Panthers to fly out today instead of yesterday, but it could be a costly one that gives momentum to Edmonton if the Oilers jump down the throats of the Florida Panthers. And that's how they have to approach the first period, the first 10 minutes, the first 5 minutes, the first shift. They have to be ready to go from the opening faceoff, because they're not going to get an opportunity like this again. The Panthers will be rested and ready to go for game number 4. I expect that they'll fly out early, getting back home if there's a game number 5. I think this is the only opportunity for the Edmonton Oilers to take advantage of something that has nothing to do with the X's and O's of a game.
Yeah, and that's why there has to be there has to be some urgency, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you start slow and you allow Florida to find their legs, find their game, they're the better team. Like, I don't think it's even that debatable on who's the better team. They're the better team on paper. They're the better team from top to bottom. You may have the superstars, but I don't really feel like, after Draisaitl and McDavid, that there's that much of a drop-off. In fact, I would think that Barkov and Tkachuk are probably the third and fourth best players in the series. So there's not that huge of an advantage there if you're Edmonton. But the depth, the Panthers have you beat. The goalie, the Panthers have you beat. Special teams. I mean, maybe not going into the series, but right now you have to say that the Panthers have the advantage on the special teams as well. So As you mentioned, you have to take advantage of something that's not really your control. And you have to look at that as a favor from the hockey gods. And you have to go out there and you have to take advantage of it.
There you have it. Seven reasons why the Edmonton Oilers can get back in this series, and why it has to start tomorrow in Game 3 between the Oilers and the Panthers. We're back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. If you're a fan of cap-friendly, you're going to be pretty disappointed by what I'm about to tell you. The Washington Capitals have reached an agreement to purchase Cap Friendly. The transaction will not become official until after the draft and the opening of free agency, so you've got a couple of weeks to get your Cap Friendly fix in. But after the sale, the website will go dark. That means no more Cap Friendly as we know it. As consumers, as fans, as media members, it will not be there. It will cease to exist. The Capitals purchased Cap Friendly for its in-house hockey operations department. So some teams around the league have their own internal version of Cap Friendly, because you have to know the contract status of your own players and where you're at in terms of the cap and all of that. But you also have to have a handle on every other player in the league, because how do you know if you can make a trade work if you're not sure on the exact dollar amounts, the exact cap hits, the exact number of teams in a no-trade list, all of that stuff, like all of the things that Cap Friendly provides to fans of the National Hockey League, fans of individual teams, media members that constantly go to Cap Friendly to provide updates or give interesting tidbits about contracts. You have to have that internally as an organization in the National Hockey League. Some teams do, some teams don't. Obviously, the Washington Capitals saw what Cap Friendly has become, and they want to utilize that as their own particular thing. Why is this important? Well, first and foremost, Cap Friendly is the biggest and most well-known, widely used site to help the average fan understand what's going on with their team and the salary cap. Without Cap Friendly, there's no real guarantee on how much the general public is going to know about future contracts, terms, clauses, no trade lists, all of that. Like, there are other sites that certainly can fill that niche, that can fill that void when Cap Friendly does go dark, but how much are those sites going to grow? And if Cap Friendly built itself into a site that was coveted by an NHL organization to take over and utilize for their own hockey ops, how much longer before that happens with Puckpedia? How much longer before that happens with other sites just like Cap Friendly? I think it's just a matter of time.
Well, certainly, on your last point, the motivation to create a replica of Cap Friendly is there. Why? Because you can get rich. And I saw a lot of people criticizing the guys who decided to sell. Like, oh, I can't believe these guys did that. What a bunch of sellouts. And it's like, let's slow down. If this team, and I don't know how much money the Capitals paid for the Cap Friendly site and the services of the people who do what they do, but I'm guessing we're talking in the millions of dollars. That is life-changing money. And none of us out there are walking away. Hypothetically, if the Capitol said, hey, we'll give you $10 million for the site. I don't know about you, Ryan. I'm not saying no to that.
Yeah, no, I hadn't seen those takes, to be honest. I'm over the moon excited for the creators of Cap Friendly because they got their payday.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You create something like that as a service for sure, but when you are that intricate and you've got those tools and you've built that website from nothing, you deserve to get paid for it, and they did, and I'm never ever going to begrudge somebody for that. My big gripe, my big issue is, what are the fans going to get moving forward? Because when you have a salary cap, right, when there is an upper limit, a middle limit, and a salary cap floor, as a fan, I feel like you deserve to know what your teams are doing. Because I'm old enough, I'll admit it, I'm old enough to remember back in the day when teams would sign players. It would just be a very generic, we have signed player X to a standard player contract for 4 years, and it did not have to have a dollar amount, an AAV, anything attached to it. And so when you're in a salary cap world, and you know what the numbers are in terms of what teams can spend, but you don't have any tried and true numbers as to what those contracts actually are, you have no idea as a fan, as a consumer. For instance, let's just say you're a season ticket member for a team. I'm not talking the Golden Knights. I'm talking to any other team. And you see that the barn sold out. You see that people are in the building. You see that everything's at capacity, and yet your team never wins. They're losing. You look at the players that you have and you wonder, I know the money's there. How much are you paying for this team? There's no transparency here. And I think that that's a problem when you exist and you live in a salary cap world. Because you should know how much your team is committed to. You don't have to worry about that here in Vegas, right? Like, you don't have to worry about that here because you know that whatever the salary cap is, Bill Foley, is going to give the green light to Kelly McCrimmon, George McPhee, to spend up to that cap. So you don't have to worry about that here. But you might have to worry about it in other markets. And if you're spending your money and the product that you're getting, there's no transparency, and you're hanging out right around the salary cap floor, that upset you if you were a fan.
Yeah, what I don't gather about this is, if I'm a fan of the Raiders, I know how much money the team has to spend in free agency, because the NFL does a very good job of getting that information out there, what guys are signed for, what their buyouts are, whatever. Major League Baseball, they don't even have a salary cap, yet you can go and find what player A makes as a salary. NBA, you know, all right, if I'm going to make a trade, if I'm a Laker fan and I want to pick up another player to play with LeBron and Anthony Davis, this is what we have to work with. Why does the NHL want their fans to be uneducated about this? Like, I don't understand why you want to keep them in the dark, why you need to keep things secret. Like, you talk about wanting to grow the game, yet you keep doing things to prevent growth. Like, you are being outdrawn by the Premier League. You're being outdrawn by, I mean, it's not even close when what the numbers are for the NBA and the NHL or the NFL. And I mean, everything is crushed by the NFL. But like, you want to grow the game. Why do you want things to not be easily accessible for your fans? New fans, right? Like you just put a team in Seattle. You just put a team in Salt Lake City. You have a team in Vegas that won a Stanley Cup. Why do you not want these new fans to be able to educate themselves and be knowledgeable about the sport? Like, why do you want a bunch of troglodytes out there watching your sport uneducated as to what the happenings are behind the scenes? Like, you should want fans to know this stuff because it's good conversation. It gets people to talk about your game. By taking something like this away, you're stunting the growth of the game. It's stupid.
And maybe the most egregious thing in all of this is, what if the league creates their own version of cap friendly? Now, I don't know that they're going to. I don't get the sense that they want to. Like, they view player salaries as proprietary information. I disagree with that on face value, but like, if the league were to create a website where, you know, it was cap friendly 2.0, okay, that'd be cool, but I don't necessarily know that I want it to be league run, because I don't know that we're going to get as much functionality and as much information as we got when it came to cap friendly. But your point about the fans is an interesting one, because most fans, casual fans, aren't going to scour cap friendly for hours. Like, maybe they'll get a hunch here and there, like, okay, well, Mitch Marner, right? His name's out there. How much does he make? What's his no trade list look like? Like, what's the protection? How realistic is it? Like, you're taking that away from some of the casual fans, but what you're taking away more than anything is your diehard fan base. What you're taking away is the people that live and breathe hockey, the ones that will spend any amount of money on a third jersey, the ones that will have every single one of their favorite players hanging up in their closet ready to go to the game tomorrow. You're alienating your most diehard fans that always are on cap friendly and are always driving the conversation for this sport forward by taking this away. I don't understand that. I don't understand why you would want to alienate the most hardcore section of your fan base when you are trying to attract more people to the sport.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And look, we use it. I use it all the time. Like, mm-hmm. Because for what we do, it's good to have that knowledge at your fingertips. Imagine, and I know the league doesn't care about us or the guys in Toronto or in any other market where they're doing hockey shows, but like, imagine how much worse this show is if we're trying to determine who the Golden Knights, like, Jonathan Marchessault. How much can they afford to pay him? Oh, guess what, guys? You have to guess because we don't know how much cap space the Golden Knights have.
I mean, that's the reality of it. You wouldn't know, right?
Yeah.
Like, could you go out and swing a trade for a Mitch Marner? Could you go out and swing a trade for
Patrick Laine?
Could you go out and swing a trade for any of the players like Marty Natchez? Could you do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Because if you don't know what the contracts are on the books, if you don't know where you stand as an organization against the salary cap, if you don't know what the trade protection looks like here and there, you're going to have no idea of how to fairly and honestly evaluate trades, contracts, everything.
Oh, this guy has a no movement clause. Well, you don't know now. You don't know. You have no clue.
I didn't imagine doing a full segment here on Cat Friendly, but I held off on this because I wanted to try to read up on it as much as possible. I wanted to see what was going away, what it was going to look like, what the landscape is in the future, and it could get pretty dark.
You are doing
just in terms of knowledge.
You're doing a disservice to anyone who cares about this game by not having a site like that available to the fans. It's a disservice. And to us.
And for the people out there that are much better attuned at setting up websites and want to and love hockey or want to get into hockey at a management level or something like that. No background. Be the next Cat Friendly. Be the next Cat Friendly.
Yeah, there's
that's your avenue. That's your ticket. That's how you get into.
There is a real opportunity. It's the American dream, right? You create a website like that, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
a couple years down the road, you're a millionaire.
If the hot dog eating contest is going to try to break the American spirit, you can have the American dream by being Cat Friendly 2.0. Those are your one-timers for today, Wednesday, June 12th. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan, you know I'm a huge, huge soccer fan, and right now United States playing Brazil in, it's a friendly game, so it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but nonetheless, it's a good way to gauge where the United States is, and right now, about 5 minutes to go in the game, the United States is tied with Brazil at 1. This comes on the heels of them getting humiliated by Colombia just a couple days ago. Good bounce back game for the United States, and maybe give them some confidence heading into the Copa America, which starts next week. Look, Brazil, powerhouse. They have 5 World Cups, and the United States is hanging with them. In fact, might be able to say they've outplayed Brazil in a couple of areas. So good match for the United States, good spot to be in, and we'll see what happens here in these next few minutes. But I'm excited for Copa America. I'm excited for the Euros, which gets started this weekend. So first game on Friday, Germany and Scotland in the Euros, and then not too long after that, the Copa America gets started. So come some games in Las Vegas. So if you're a big fan, go check that out. But so far, so good for the United States against Brazil.
There's too many like specialty tournament things that happen in soccer. I can't keep track of it all.
Yeah, there's a lot, and you know, this is international, so guys representing their home countries, and obviously league a bit different. But I guess hockey would be hard to do a North American tournament because it would basically just be, well, it would be the United States versus Canada,
Chapman,
for a month.
It'll be the Four Nations face off. What are you talking about?
Yeah, good luck.
We've
with
got
that
in like 8 months, 10 months. Let's go.
Way to go.
Game 3 tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.